traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Do you have any regret now, after it's all said and done, about choosing Dylan Danis as a partner for this dance?
Yeah, I do. I lied in the buildup when I said I didn't regret choosing him as a partner.
Are we rolling?
Oh, but just rolling. No booze. That's my only rule. That I got too carried away with.
Yeah, we're rolling.
650.
Everyone's talking about something else. Mom's talking about stereo strip in my face.
I mean, listen, we got a. He might have a hard, but we got a hard out.
Then we're talking about.
We got a hard out 7 p.m. for this dinner. All right, I got to manage these situations, dude. Because
so what is this, a 30-minute podcast?
Even manage to right, so we're get up and piss this morning.
We're in the Sprinter at 7.
You're not in a Sprinter right now, I'll tell you that much.
No.
Are we? Is this show on?
Are we on?
Yes. Is this a real show? We're actually alive right now. We haven't done this in 1 week.
Wait,
1 month.
Where's makeup?
Just.
Wagwan, fam.
The show's back. We didn't know. We thought Impulsive was done for good.
Y'all thought Impulsive was done for good, but no. We got Jeff with Tech, Greg Paul, Jake Paul, and Mike Majlak in the building. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Good to see you. Good to see you coming at you live from Manchester. Victorious. Victorious.
Yes. I can't believe it.
Yes.
Yes.
I woke up this morning. The sun was shining through the clouds, which is a rare occurrence here in England. God dang, this place is dark and gray and dreary.
Don't you do it. It's a beautiful country.
It is so beautiful, but this time of year, it kind of sucks, dude. I'll be honest with you. This place is weird. They all talk funny. They call me a wanker.
You are a wanker.
I think they're the wankers, dude.
I'm having a far different experience. I got my roadman fit on. My creps are safe.
Don't you come mucking about. I was at the chippy
all day today eating mushy peas and fish and chips.
That sounds horrible. The food's horrible here. That's all I'll say about it. That's only slander.
I'll deal with this slander, bro. y'all are not it.
It's weird food here. Beans and everything.
They do put beans in everything. I had shepherd's pie with mushy peas, fish and chips.
I don't like the blood sausage in the morning. The breakfast. It's not like a
full breakfast, full English breakfast.
Yeah.
I just think you got to get used to it. I think you guys are so used to that fake U.S. culture. Now I'm over here. I feel like I'm back home, dude.
The eggs are much better here. You crack an egg here, you see that orange yolk.
Because you can't put any bullshit in the food. The British, so you know, health organization won't let it fly, you know, unlike doping.
Anyway, the piss test I took yesterday, for VADA to make sure I wasn't on steroids, which everyone is still just telling me I'm on steroids, which I'm not.
You're not?
Fuck you.
Wait, everybody says you are, though.
A lot of people say a lot of things.
I know, but the internet's right?
Yeah, all the time. Now, this piss test was comprehensive. I wasn't able to deliver 0.9 milliliters of urine after the fight because I was dehydrated, I was sweating and stuff. So they sent these dudes back to the house with me while we were partying and stuff. I was trying to get them to drink and smoke and hang out, and they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't budge. But I was thoroughly drunk by the time I had enough urine to pee in this cunt. But they went hard. So when that comes out, I'll be able to say I'm a clean athlete, and the excuse list will go down for all these motherfuckers who don't shut the fuck up. But when I woke up this morning and the sun was shining and I was in this beautiful country, I felt peace. It was such an odd feeling. I felt at ease. I felt calm. And I realized what it was this morning. It was the balance of the universe that had been restored, at least temporarily. And I'm sure it will get lopsided and things will get bent out of shape very soon. But at least for now, I gotta say, winning feels kind of nice.
First time ever.
Oh yeah, God first time.
Five years later.
God dang.
After the first time in Manchester where GP was getting paint buckets tossed off his dome piece. And now we're back here in Manchester getting the dub, and you know, we're gonna talk about it. But the first thing I did when I woke up this morning was I went straight to Twitter. I was like, will it continue? Will they still be supporting? And that man was getting slayed on Twitter. Every tweet he made, people were like, you're embarrassing. All the memes were reversed. Logan was walking him on a dog leash.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it just felt like all was right. Darth Vader had been defeated. The Death Star had crashed, you know, and it was just, it felt a little bit better. It felt like a better day for me as a yes man, you know, like I didn't have to fucking defend my friend from my knees because Dylan was on his knees all night. It was just, it feels good for me,
bro. It feels good not to see him get slaughtered anymore because it's been a dark past couple months.
I thought the show was over. I was calling Tana Mongeau saying I'd like to be on Canceled.
We told him, we were like, yo, if this doesn't go your way, you're doing this podcast
cancel the show forever, indefinitely.
Yeah, and speaking of Dylan, you guys got to check out my TikTok because I had a prediction.
No, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm plugging
the show. That's 25 G's.
No, because I put a prediction out there that a year from now Dylan's going to be in a gutter and I'm going to film it, and it's really good. So you got to check it out. I'm helping restore.
We don't film people in the gutter.
I know we don't. I do.
Next year, okay, okie dokie.
Yeah.
Look, I want to say something.
Yeah,
because no, it does. It is nice. That's what I meant when I said the balance of the universe is restored. Like things seem to be making a little more sense now. Like he did a great job promoting this fight, but through a not super morally sound way. That at what cost? Like it just didn't need to go there. And now, he's back to being the person that we all knew he was. Like he was able to be a hero for a second. And there was a lot on the line, and I'll be honest, I'm not going to sit here and act like I did something glorious by defeating Dylan Danis. Like it was a boxing match. I looked kind of sloppy sometimes. I didn't feel like my performance was where it could be. I was a little conservative with my boxing, but I did what I said what I was going to do, and I beat his ass for six rounds. Like I beat that boy up, and he's so, I think, emblematic of society in that motherfuckers just talk shit behind their screens, aren't about any action, contribute absolutely nothing to the world except negativity, bring everyone else down to try to make themselves feel better. And the fact that I got to pick one of those fucking clowns, Twitter warriors, keyboard losers, and beat the shit out of him in real life and show him that actions really do have real life consequences felt so good. And that's why I took the fight. Like I said it, someone needs to beat this dude up. And I got to do it, and it felt great.
Let's talk about the fight for a second. I don't think anybody knew what to expect. I had somebody ask me yesterday on this pre-show. They were like, why are you so confident about Logan's ability to win this fight when we've never seen Dylan box before? And I, you know, threw out a bunch of answers like, well, he's never been in the ring in front of 20, 30,000 people, which is a massive adrenaline dump, really changes your training and tests, you know, your real skill set. He pulled a lot of really high, really tight guard to the face, which I think is what he had to do. You had a lot of trouble kind of splitting it open. You got through it a couple
Mikey,
times.
I'm a counterpuncher.
I understand.
Everyone knows that. Every opponent who studies me knows I'm a counterpuncher. When my opponent isn't punching, that's problematic for me. Like every time I catch people in sparring, it's counterpunching. And I can go on the offensive, which is what I did. But when a fighter, Dylan enters the bout trying to survive and not fight, it's going to change the dynamic. Like you just have your hands up the whole time. He just is avoiding the headshot.
So my question to that is, we saw you wall bag him a couple times, which is, you know, what we've always hoped and prayed for, because you do that drill in training the entire time. But what was your fear in really staying in the pocket when you knew that he wasn't throwing shots, like really staying deep in the pocket? Was it the eye, or what was preventing you from staying where you needed to be to get that knockout? Because there's a lot of people talking about it today. The fact that you survived, the fact that you won the fight, which you did in pretty respectable fashion, but weren't able to get the knockout, is something that some people were talking about.
I'll be honest, I was disappointed. It was my first thought when the fight ended. I really wanted to knock this guy out, but me and you were talking about it. The way it ended might have been the best outcome, because my ego would have been like, yeah, I knocked him out. But we got to see Dylan expose himself for the fucking clown and disgrace to combat sports that he is. He shot himself in the foot. Bro, you're not even good at the thing you said you're good at. He tried to
do a guillotine choke on me. He pulled guard. He tried to take me down in a boxing match.
Yeah.
And failed miserably.
No, you didn't fail. You stuffed it.
How embarrassing.
You stuffed two takedowns, a guillotine, and even got a ground and pound. like he's asking for an MMA fight with you, and I'm watching this now, and after running the tape back,
do you do it?
He threw more punches at Neil than he did at you.
He threw more punches at my security guard, yeah.
Do you take an MMA fight with
him? No, you know why? I said I would if he gave me his whole purse, which is not going to happen, obviously.
He's giving that to Nina.
We'll see. But, bro, he doesn't deserve the platform. We saw the kind of person he is. I walked into the arena to booze. I left to cheers. No one likes that dirty fight shit, bro. You came to box. Like, respect the sport. Respect me as an opponent. Back up your words. Are you a man? What do you... Well, you can't talk that much shit for 3 months. You can't try to ruin someone's life and then come in there with that kind of performance.
And I think that's what's being echoed on Twitter right now. We had Eddie Hearn on the pre-show, and there's been a lot of back and forth conversation around fight promo. Is it just the fight game? That's the fight game. Like, what, anything goes. Eddie Hearn, you know, boxing purist, classic traditional box, you know, boxing guy, sat down on the pre-show and very vividly said, like, if this was a traditional boxing bout, he would not have survived until the fight. The other opponent would have gone out and made that conversation stop. So in Eddie Hearn's mind, not saying that you would do that. You've got brands, you've got a million things going on.
What do you mean? Talking about like 100% beating his ass
street
in real life.
Yes. That was Eddie Hearn's sentiment on the pre-show. Basically, this would never have flown. So all those people saying, yo, that's the fight game, it's in fact not the fight game. It's very much a part of the new fight game, the social media antics, the content creator space. But the idea that you were going to go after another fighter's fiance for months on end, day after day after day, relentlessly without getting your shit pushed in the fucking street, wasn't the case before this. And I think even more so now, after that embarrassing show up, I mean, Eddie Hearn basically said he should never fight. He should never be, you know, fighting again.
Who would hire this guy to fight? He sucks. He literally sucks. And to answer your question about why I don't think I was able to get the knockout, I was fighting too conservatively, because in the beginning when I realized, yo, this dude actually sucks as a boxer, I'm going to beat his ass. I can pick him apart for 6 rounds. If I get the knockout, great. But as we know and we've learned in training, when you're going for the knockout and you're attempting to put power behind your punches, it doesn't come as easy. It comes kind of effortlessly. And I didn't want to make a mistake and get caught on some dumb shit after beating his ass for what? Fiber.
Who knows? I was
waiting for him to throw.
But you saw what he was throwing. And I want to ask you, was because... Because this is the question that I think will come down to making decisions or having sentiment towards your ongoing boxing career. Jake will get punched in the face right down the fucking pipe until that whole shit is leaking all over him. KSI is not scared to get a hit to get hit. When you saw the power or lack thereof that Dylan was putting on those shots, what was the reason why you were scared out of the pocket to stay in there and actually fucking tear his head off?
Because while I feel so blessed in life and there's an angel on my shoulder that somehow always has my back and helps me come out victorious, I also feel like sometimes there's an equal and opposite force on the other side that inhibits me in ways that are so inexplainable.
We are getting down to the wire in the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. 16 talented and determined drivers entered the playoffs field, and we are down to only 8 left with only one more race before the field is slashed in half. One last time for the Championship 4. The playoffs head to Homestead Miami Speedway in sunny South Florida. Nestled between the vibrancy of South Beach and the calm of the Keys, this track offers a one-of-a-kind racing experience. Drivers will be using every inch of this action-packed mile-and-a-half oval to secure their spot in the Championship 4. There's only a few more races in NASCAR's 75th anniversary season, so don't miss out. Grab some beers, order your go-to Sunday meal, and tune into the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs race at Homestead Miami Speedway on Sunday, October 22nd at 2:30 p.m. Eastern on NBC.
Back to the program.
No! Back to the show.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right.
The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I underhand tossed a Prime bottle at him, and I didn't see that he had a microphone in his hand. He was kind of holding it at his side, and when he went up to raise his arm, I thought he was trying to strike me because he was really close. I didn't see he had a projectile. This motherfucker MLB baseball pitched it right in my head, and it hit me in my face. And in that moment, I knew this devil force that I'm kind of like hinting at, whatever force is working against me
was back in play
in that moment. I know he just sliced my face. He's won.
Yeah. I was worried about that, 'cause everything was going wrong for you the lead up to it.
Everything.
So like what's really going to shift that tide, you know, in the fight. And I was worried he was going to clinch you and headbutt it, 'cause I knew that he just wanted to fuck shit up and ruin the event. So if you got DQ'd or you just doctor stoppage, 'cause this thing just busted open,
that would go, that it's like the type of story that happens to me sometimes. Like it made sense in my mind that something like that could happen, and I fought conservative, bro. I didn't want to give him anything. But when he threw that mic in my face, yo, I was down here and I touched my face and I look and I see blood on my fingers, and I know cuts. I've been cut my whole life. My whole body's full of scars. It's why I don't have tattoos. I prefer scars because they have stories with them. No, they're cool. Yeah.
There's no way you're going to use my line right now.
What do you mean?
I have said that you have a tattoo. I have none, and I always say that. Same thing. I got 40 fucking scars in my body.
Scars are cool, but I just want to, you can't even see it. But
can you give Mike credit? I mean, you stole his line.
He got many more scars than me, I think. No, I got a lot of scars.
Go ahead. I'm just fucking around.
You just whack your mic into his face right now. Jeff had one of the best jokes. You didn't like it at the time, though.
Well,
you did not
because listen, did you see it?
No.
It was
at the moment where we thought the whole fight was off. We thought everything was done with her. Your face was split open, and that's it. We flew out here for nothing. The thing's off, and he was outside the room. He's your best friend. He can't go in the room. So he was all like, what the fuck? I'm Mike. I'm impulsive. I can't go in the room. And I was like, yo, Mike, the last thing he wants to see is another Mike right now. And everybody went quiet. Like we were at a funeral. Like it was a funeral. Nobody died. It's going to be all right.
It felt like somebody died because I thought the fight was off and it was a really
heavy
devastated. Time.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you, I was down here. I seen blood on my hand. I go, I know how bad this is. Watch the videos. I scurried out of there like a little cockroach. I turn around. I'm like, nope. I don't want any cameras to see how bad this is. And we get back. I'm talking to Neil, the security. I'm looking at him like a scared little puppy. I'm like, how bad is it, dude? And I'm looking at his eyes. He doesn't want to tell me how bad it is. And I'm like, Neil, how bad is it? He goes, mate, it's bad. And I'm like, all right.
And
look at my shirt.
No.
My whole shirt is bleeding. There's blood all over the floor. Like, he clocked me. He clocked me. But you know what? I deserved it. Because I threw a Prime bottle at him, yeah. You know? So you sleep in that bed. But for a moment, I was devastated, dude. I was devastated. Another event where because of some stupid decision I made, I shot myself in the foot. All the buildup to this fight, we're so close, 2 days away, and I almost gave him a reason to not have to fight me. And it would have destroyed me, dude. I was... There was a window that day where my mental fortitude was tested in a big way. And then you said it, Jeff. You said something like, you have this way of putting $1 million on a number and like around a roulette table and somehow ended up hitting the number and spinning everything around and making it work in your favor.
It's a big gamble. You take big risks, you know, getting in that ring with anybody. It's a jiu-jitsu guy that's gonna fucking have a guard up the whole time or whatever, you know. You do take big risks. But Mike actually said it. He was like, because you were going through a lot of shit, the whole internet fucking hated you for the past 2 months, and he was like, you know, all this shit, I've seen this kid go through everything, and then all the negative eventually turns into, you know, positive down the line. It amplifies by like 1,000, like Prime. You lost to KSI, you made $1 billion company, and then this, you know.
The way he always talks about it, he says, when you, the only way to build muscle is to tear it first. Every time you work out, you tear that shit apart, and it builds bigger and bigger. Came to the house the night we came here, the night after, got hit in the face with the mic, and your concern was I don't want him to be able to claim that he made me bleed in the ring. Of course he would have fucking knocked his head into it. I was positive
this was going to open up.
And I said, imagine if he does that in this moment. You fucking are beating the fuck out of him, bleeding all over him, and it turns into one of those Nate Diaz warrior moments. Yeah. And you like that because you saw that image in your mind. But
it was exciting, but still, I just didn't want to give him anything. And like he tried to open it up. You know, he went for a guillotine kind of early on. Then he tried the takedown, and I kept my head on the side away from it because, again, if this opened up, I just didn't want him to be able to say that he made me bleed. And then when I popped his eye in the first round, I see that shit swelling up. I see his eye turning all red, and I was like, I got this motherfucker's number.
Leave it to Dylan to lose an MMA fight and a boxing match in one night. Yeah.
So do you have any regret now, after it's all said and done, about choosing Dylan Danis as a partner for this dance?
Yeah, I do. I lied in the build-up when I said I didn't regret choosing him as a partner.
Why do you regret it?
I'm eternally sorry for Nina. I'll spend the rest of my life apologizing if I have to for putting her through that kind of torment. It's inhumane what he did, and she'll hold him accountable. But this is my life. I dragged her into this social media fight bullshit. She did not sign up for this. I mean, she did, of course, but she didn't know. And neither did I. I don't think anyone knew the extent to which he would take things. No fight organization or promotion has ever seen this type of buildup. This is gnarly. And also, no fighter, I think, has a partner who can be exploited in the way that Nina can. She's a public figure, you know? And with that comes the limelight and a lot of responsibility that a lot of fighters aren't able to do with their opponent because their wives don't have an independently self-made career. And she has that. And so he was able to exploit it in a way that worked for the buildup, but also hurts. It hurts so personally.
I have a different take on this because I was in there with you guys when it was deep, right? I was in Puerto Rico. I think what he did was a gift for you too. Because the bond he built, I mean, the fact that you guys have gotten so close and went through so much so early in your relationship. From here on out, for the rest of your life, there's literally nothing. There's fucking nothing that will bother you guys. There's nothing that will break you. Because, like, I watch you two just fucking merge.
Fair.
So you got this gift early. A lot of people never get that, or they get it later in life.
100%.
So fucking A, man.
Mom said, yeah. Mom said to me, she goes on the phone, she was worried, you know, she's a mother.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't know how this is any way to start off a marriage. It's so hard for you two. And I go, I actually have the opposite perspective. Yeah. I think if you're going to get the shit out of the way you're going to test the strength of your love, this is a great way to do it. And if we survive this, which we did with flying fucking colors, can you survive with flying colors? Does that make sense? But if we did, which we did, we would be that much stronger, and it's a great foundation.
It's a gift.
This marriage for the rest of our lives, and you've been through it. I've been through it. If you can survive that internet torment, and you build that thick skin, and you don't let anything affect you, no strangers' opinions on who you are will ever actually get to you.
Right.
It's a real powerful position.
It's a great place
and
to
Nina's
be.
Nina's there now.
Nina's a fucking rock star.
She's there
dude,
now.
Dude, yeah. For those of you guys who don't know, throughout all this, I nicknamed Nina Honey Badger because a honey badger is the baddest animal on the planet.
Honey badgers don't care.
Honey badgers don't care. And we would be doing stuff, and between us, we'd be like, honey badgers don't care. We all kind of have a laugh, and... But she's truly the honey badger, and
she don't give a fuck.
No,
yeah. When I came in here, like first time seeing you in a long time, I talked to Nina and I was like, "So how are you doing?" Like actually, and she's like, "I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks." She was like, "I don't even give a fuck what you think." I was like, "Whoa, Nina, I'm on your side."
I was talking to her and she goes, "GP, I don't give a fuck what you're saying right now."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it, man. That's great. You're
so
good.
So decision to fight Dan is now. I want to move on to decision to fight at all. I mean, you know, came out with the victory last night. As you said, not in a fashion that you were hoping for. Do you box again? You get called out by Tommy Fury, who we're going to be talking about in the next couple minutes here. You get called out by someone else. What are the chances that you want to go through this type of pre-show torment again and get in the ring again?
I think it comes down a little bit to who my opponent is. I chose a guy who has nothing to lose and everything to gain. And he saw a route that he could take that was working. Exploit and torment a woman. He went too far. It's going to have its consequences. It did have its consequences. But I chose someone who basically was willing to risk it all. You know, if I were to choose a person like Tommy, a little bit more of a respectable professional person, or even someone like McGregor, like big brands work with McGregor. He's a household name. He's got, he's the Notorious and he does some pretty dirty shit, but I don't know if anyone would go that low besides like a literal like scum. So if it's a super fight and I get the opportunity to put on a big show and really show what I can do, because I didn't do that last night, man. Like I'm reactive, I'm snappy. Like he didn't throw any punches, and so I wasn't able to really show what I can do.
What do you,
which
what,
disappoints me?
What's the why do you want to fight? Why do you want to fight? Like what's your hope?
Yeah, why do I want to fight?
Because that shit's gangster, dog.
I mean, that might be the answer.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, shit's and also fuck,
he's young. He could do it
yeah,
now.
So
you know,
he's doing a double front flip off the top rope in WWE.
WWE's so fun.
So, but it's the risk. And you know, and you know what's more gangster than anything? Completely going off the grid after pulling 10 Bs out of a brand. You know what I'm saying? Like what is it about that? Especially like I just want to bring this back up. It's like we talk about the McGregor fight. I'm going to play that devil's advocate a little bit today. That's your brother's fight. In your brother's mind, that's his fight.
Well, so you know is the Tommy fight.
Well, listen, I'm just... When Tommy calls you out, it's a different story. Tommy did call you out directly, but it's just my curiosity is like... In a way, all of the side shit that happened during this fight and all the negative press that came out of it, in like this strange way, almost felt like this like godsmack of a situation about you playing in a space that like you don't really... want to be in or belong in. You know what I'm saying? And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I just mean you have lanes that are so crazy built out and so made for you. And I feel like in a way, like a part of you just from a pride standpoint almost wants to just clear somebody's head off just to be like, okay, I did it. Now shut up. I have that knockout power. And to be honest with you, in my eyes, it kind of sucks that didn't happen last night, because I think it would have checked the box for you where you could have walked away and been like, okay, I did that thing.
It's a very accurate assessment of what's taking place. Like when people watch me box, sure, they're entertained. Sure, they're maybe impressed, but no one's like, he was born for this. That kid's a real boxer. He got hands for days. It doesn't happen. But when people watch me in WWE, like after my first WrestleMania, I came back to the locker room. Everyone was like, what the fuck you were built for this. Vince McMahon told me backstage, he goes, your future is here.
He's right.
I'm like, maybe this is my thing. Gentlemen across the nation, I got an urgent message for you. This episode is brought to you by Manscaped, the brand that took your balls to space is now launching them into the ultra sphere. Introducing the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. It's so rare and exclusive. We don't even have it. Mike left it in the car. Here's a picture. Featuring a new cutting-edge design and next-generation dual skin-safe blades heads for different shaves, join the 9 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with the brand-new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code LOGAN. High-tech for low places. Manscaped. We're lucky to be one of the first to try the new Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, and no, we're not, because, again, we don't have it.
No, I tried it. It's great.
We had it in the car.
It's got a detachable blade,
so
you can take
the
trim out, trim your nuts, and then shave
your face. Interchangeable skin-safe blade heads, a standard trimmer blade for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go for that smooth finish wherever your heart desires. We're talking three lengths. Setting combs for all your desired lengths. And, oh, did I mention this trimmer is waterproof, too? Taking it on the go? Fine. Manscaped got you covered. This puppy comes with a travel case, even a travel lock feature to avoid any accidental powering and or weird looks in the airport. In fact, that's how we got it here to England. But again, it's in the car.
The
we
case forgot. Makes it's fine. It no, invisible. That's how good.
This is right here on the cutting edge of your cutting pubes. Upgrade your ball trim, your life will follow. To get 20% off, free shipping, code Logan, manscaped.com. Your balls have been through enough. It's time to go ultra
with Manscaped.
On them nuts. Back to the program.
Don't snip your nuts.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Okay, right? Like you guys walk out of the ring last night. You know, everybody is like, what the fuck just happened? Dylan was doing somersaults in the middle of the ring, throwing it back, fucking putting his pussy in the air for somebody to jump on. Like, what just happened? And then all of a sudden, and maybe we change gears here, you see these two animals jump into the ring, two dogs. Like we'll get into the Jake reactions and everything else after the fact, but the fight is visually and innately different between those two people versus the fight that we had just seen moments earlier.
You're talking about KSI and Tommy.
KSI and Tommy Fury. It looked like
the way they went in there,
a clashing of two animals.
Fight. Two guys that wanted to fight.
And every time their bodies hit together, there was a sound and the sweat fight, and they were just cracking that fucking right hand over and over. And it was like, yo, one of these two is dead set on murdering the other person in the ring. And has no inkling of a non-desirability of staying in the pocket and getting the shit beat out of them to get it done. Do you know what I'm saying? And in my mind, I'm saying to myself, I don't know who the opponent is for Logan where the fight looks like that.
Mikey, I'm not that kind of athlete, which maybe is why kind of what you're saying, that boxing might not be something I'm going to pursue wholeheartedly. And you know this, like on the football field, we were pretty good my senior year. We made it to districts, or we made it to whatever the next level up is. We won the conference championship for the first time in like 20 years. We were very good. Our team was very good. And football, there's the chanting and the pre-game speech that the coach gives, and everyone's all hyping each other up. I'm quiet. I don't raise my voice. I'm the team captain, and my team's hooting and hollering, and I'm in the back kind of like, yo, what are you fucking idiots doing? Like, save your energy. Like, I'm going to go murder someone on the field. But I don't know if I have or am capable of finding the balance between being a calm, strategic boxer that is playing chess with my fists and I want to kill this person. Those are two opposite ends of the spectrum. You know what I'm saying? Like, yesterday, our game plan was, which I followed, go in there and box and be calm. KSI and Tommy, that was a fight. There wasn't much boxing. They weren't boxing.
Is the bloodlust required? That's my question. It's like you. I'm sure we've seen strategic chess piece movers in the sport. And obviously Milton's here, you know, has been watching boxing his whole life. You've seen those fighters, right? But like, is that desire to really get dirty, hurt somebody, and that desire for blood, which I've said on the show before, and I'll say it again, that your brother has so deeply running through his veins.
Well, it's weird because for him it's so natural. Yeah. He feels like he has that balance of wanting to kill someone, but with his mind as the catalyst for it. Like, I watched someone like Terrence Crawford, who's a demon, probably one of the best boxers alive right now, who is so clearly thinking about every decision he's making, but it has bad intention. But then you take someone like Mike Tyson, who you flip it and it feels like he just has bad intention. So I don't know if I found that balance yet, and I don't know if I will pursue the sport long enough to. But to answer your question, bro, I just love entertaining. Like, this shit's so fun to me. Like, the fact that I can go in a boxing match, actually kick some fucking ass. I have a practical skill now that I can use in real life and feel confident and protected in my own body. I can protect my family, my loved ones. But I go in this boxing match post-fight and go, you know what? This is fun. This is cool. 15,000 people. I love you, Manchester. Hope you're having a good ass time.
but I got to go win a WWE championship. Like that merging of worlds just has not been done before.
No, it's great.
And that's exciting to me.
It's
I like paving that path. I like making the blueprint for things that haven't been done yet.
Or breaking it. Well, it's certainly a thing too. And like the attention the fights get and the conversation the fights create is far more dramatic from a cultural standpoint than any of the other things you're doing. Case in point, Drake obviously making this massive stake-sponsored bet on you to win by knockout.
Did he win that or no?
I want to talk about it.
What happens with that?
Now you won. Technically, you won by DQ, by decision.
Yeah, but there's also decision, a weird... There's
under
also,
disqualification.
Yeah, but there's also a weird thing on that because I was looking at this TikTok. It looked like the clock ran over.
Yeah.
Like, it looked like that whole scuffle at the end where he tried to pull the guillotine should have never
There was
even
no
happened.
Bell. I saw
there's
that.
No, there was no bell.
Correct. But, like, I just don't understand how he pulls a knockout bet win on a non-knockout victory.
I agree.
If anything, he gets his money back. And, obviously, Dylan retweeted it. What do we...
I don't think
he's getting paid
get
on
money
that.
Back.
No, no, no. Not on a DQ or something.
If he put to knockout,
it
has to be a knockout. If he put decision, it has to be a decision.
Well, because he then posted that beautiful reel view on his story.
I was laughing so hard. I'm like, who made this reel for Drake? Of me jumping off the rope?
He's so funny, dude. Like he, but the point I was trying to make was like people watch this shit. And I think a part of that for you also is interesting where you're like, yo, this is like, yo, ESPN's really watching this. Everybody's watching this. Everybody's talking. This is number one. And I think sometimes you forget that like when you do WWE, it's trending number one as well. You know what I'm saying? So I don't see a route where it's a bad thing for you. And I know you like just trying new shit, but I was just curious if you think if the risk is really worth the payoff at this point.
And do you know how many pay-per-views you had?
Oh, dude, Hearn was excited.
What did he?
No, not Eddie. Eddie was talking about it, but Joe was excited. Everybody was saying plus.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. It was good.
Like they were doing a run rate pre-show before US even woke up, and they were like, this was like days before the fight even, and then into the day of, and they were like, yo, this is trending towards.
Whoa.
But it's not. But I doubt it did that. I think it was just.
I don't have the final numbers. Yeah, I would imagine it's a little over. Nice. It was cool. During the fight, when he was doing all that funky shit, I could hear his coaches. At one point, they were like, come on, Dylan, you're getting beat up by a YouTuber. I'm like laughing and smiling. At one point, I was circling, and I go near them. I said, I'm beating the fuck out of your boy. And he was talking to me the whole time. He's like, you didn't think I could box, huh? I was like, you can't. And fucking hit him in the body. And then he got so excited. He got so excited every time he landed a punch. Because he did land some. And it was amusing to me to watch him be as proud as he was of himself every time he landed one punch. And I was like, yo, you really ain't cut out for this.
In the beginning of the fight, you said, I forgive you, Dylan. That shit was hard. But did you mean that? Did you actually like mentally tell yourself, I'm going to forgive this guy, or are you just fucking putting on a show?
So the major challenge for me in this fight, as we knew, was that this guy got under my skin. How could he not? How could any person watch what he did to the person you love most in the world and be okay with it and not want to actually murder this human being? But as I just described, I'm not that type of athlete. I'm not that type of person. When I lead with aggression and I'm fighting with emotion, I'm not in my best state. And when we did that face-to-face with the glass, he's standing across from me, and I learned that he riles me up. He brings out that side of me that goes, I want to fucking kill this guy. And that's not good.
You tried that, though?
I try, but then I just look stupid throwing wild punches, and then I get caught. I'd get caught with something, and he gets that knockout that the world was waiting for, and it didn't happen. Like, the story was not meant to be written that way. So I come back to the house, and I'm like, damn, it might be harder to flip that switch into calmness and tranquility and fighting with my mind, not my heart, than I thought. How do I do this? So me and Nina sat right over there. We had a meditation,
And in this meditation, I'm sitting here. I go, how can I go into this as calm as possible and not want to fight with the emotion? And this word kept coming to my mind, forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. And then, man, y'all are going to laugh at me. The internet's going to laugh at me. But, bro, Jesus came into my mind.
I swear to God.
Yeah.
Let's go,
man.
Let's go.
I swear to God, dude. I was like, fuck.
What a nice thing to hear on Sunday, like, dude. Fucking, it's about time.
I was like, fucking Jesus is like the man who is master forgiveness, the power of forgiveness. A whole religion was built on the power of forgiveness. Like the amount of followers he has because of this one principle that if you can grasp it, and it's hard to grasp. You know how hard it was for me to go, I forgive you, bro. I forgive you for making my life hell. I forgive you for hurting the person I love most in this world for months on end when she's done nothing to you. But I knew that if I could do it, and I knew that if I meant that I actually forgave him, I could enter this fight with a calm mind and just box. I'm not here to fight. It's just a guy, a nameless, faceless opponent, another hard spar, and I'm not going to go in there and fight with emotion. I'm just going to simply do my job in my office tonight, which happens to be a boxing ring.
Damn.
So I did mean it when I said I forgive him.
I'm glad you told me about the Nina part, that she knew that that was coming. Because if I were Nina watching that, I'd be like, what the fuck?
I told her.
You're forgiving him?
I said,
I said,
after the meditation, I said, I think I just found something real powerful, but I don't think you're going to like it. She's like, what? I was like, I forgive him. I forgive him.
Damn. Imagine you walked into the fight with a, remember the Pokemon card, but with the Bible. and George together. Bro,
George was there. What? George was there. He was looking down on us from above.
And you know, might be the beginning of the reconnection of you and George.
It could be. And he tweeted right after you won. What was it again?
God is real.
Jesus is real. One of the
one of them.
Which actually, but I will say this, if you had that epiphany and he tweeted that, I'm just saying, might be a good time to rekindle the conversation.
George is one of my best friends, bro. We are so similar. Like, I want the best for this guy, and like, it's not, doesn't feel uncommon that there may have been some sort of biblical, worldly ether crossing happening there. Like, it made sense. Like, I don't know. I was like, if I can forgive this dude, I'm gonna win this fight. And so yeah, I meant it. And Nina, by the way, I ran it by her. She was like, why would I be mad at that? And I was like, well, cause like, you know, you like, I don't know how you would react to me being okay with the person who's made your life hell.
Didn't she say, honey badger, you don't care?
She said, I don't give a fuck what you do.
What if you got clean knocked out and then you went back and were like, sorry, babe.
I want to undo it.
We were talking about that. What does that conversation look like?
Shit. I don't know because in my mind I was like, this could very well happen. Like, it could, that would,
can
like,
you imagine
my
that,
life man. Has been going so great, all these great things have happened to me, and then this dude just starches me and it's over.
You come here, her bags are gone, she's gone. You come to do the podcast, then me and Jeff don't show up. We're with Tana, dude.
Greg's gone.
Yeah, I'm over Jake's camp.
I wouldn't blame you, bro. I wouldn't blame you.
You talked about God now. Really quickly, I want to talk about, you know, they say God, country, family. I want to talk about country. When you and Dylan got in the ring, there was a beautiful song played, a real important song to America.
Yeah, real beautiful.
The Star Spangled Banner.
Star Spangled Bruce Banner.
Bruce Banner. The Hulk. Is that even the right name of the song?
The Hulk's
right?
Theme song, yeah.
And the entirety of that UK audience
started booing.
Both fighters are from the U.S.
Booed that song.
Fuck these guys in the ring.
I did not understand it. In that moment, I said, we need to do something about this. And me, Jeff, and Andrew Schultz, we got on our chairs as high as we could, and we started singing that song, dude, as loud as we could. And we looked over, and you saw us.
Yeah, I saw you guys.
And you grabbed the American flag and started
waving. From the ring girl, I took her flag.
And in that moment, I said to myself, this is America. Yeah, this is what it's about. This is what it looks like to be back-to-back World War champion, Revolutionary War champion, motherfucker. And he was swinging that shit, and I was like, let's go. But then when the UK national anthem came on, I stood up, I put my hand on my heart. I don't even know if you're supposed to do that. And I gave respect to the UK. We're friends, we're allies. Yeah, we've always come to each other's sides. Y'all would be speaking German right now if it wasn't for us, but we'll leave that out of it, you know? So it was a bit of a strange moment for me, but KSI, because we do have a some time shit here going on.
20 minutes.
I'll allow this to go 5 minutes longer, okay? 7:05, it's been pushed.
So wait, hold on a second. You're almost 60 years old and you wake up and then you decide I'm gonna wear a beanie today?
It was cold.
No, it's fucking cold. I've been wearing it for a couple days. You just haven't noticed, man. I got a ball ass head, bro.
I think but it's you don't dope. Like
it? You ever been to Turkey?
Of course you do.
Huh? Yeah. Oh, man.
You ever been to Turkey?
Go to Turkey, bro.
What's in Turkey?
Plug you right up.
Oh, they'll fucking do my hair like you. Right. Oh,
you wanna go?
I'm good, dude. You know what I say? I'm not going bald. I'm getting more head.
This dude. He's got really good one-liners like, yeah, Milton.
They're great.
He said to my girl the other day, he said, if somebody calls you a pussy, what'd you say?
He said, yeah, we got to stop calling people pussies that are weak. We got to call them ball sacks because pussies are tough. You know, they deliver babies. Yeah. They take a pounding and keep on going. You know? I mean, I think it's an insult to women to call weak men pussies. We got to call them ball sacks.
Ball sacks.
Yeah, you did the work for the women last night. A lot of women were cheering for you last night, bro.
I saw a lot of in my stories.
Oh, yeah. You know? Because they were fighting against the beta incel men, the non-pussy getting men that were rooting for Dylan.
It was very satisfying to watch all these little Twitter fucking peasants crawl back into whatever hole they came
cave.
From. Like, get out. Like,
burning hell.
Who are you? Who are you people? Go die, as you said.
I want to take that back. I was just heated.
That was crazy. Yeah,
I was heated. I said, yeah, I didn't mean that. I love everyone. And we need more love in this world and in this trying time. So I was a little heated. And I apologize for my, I don't apologize, but I won't say it again. KSI. Outcome of that fight, as we said earlier, two dogs stepping in the ring, beating the living crap out of each other. A lot of clinching, a lot of right hands. Pretty much what we expected to see out of both of them. KSI leading with that overhead right. Tommy getting thrown off his game, to be completely honest with you, a little bit, and fighting more of a KSI fight than a Tommy Fury fight, which I'm sure his camp is all pissed off at him about. What do we think about the outcome?
KSI's so unorthodox. He's a very hard person to fight. I would know, you know. I lost to him by a single point. Got hit in the back of the hit him in the back of the head, and we had this whole thing. And I learned that he's a dog, and it's hard to prepare for him. And I think Tommy really felt that, and especially in the first round, he got hit with a big right hand that he was probably slightly a little concerned about. But to be honest with you, I don't know how Tommy won that fight solely because of that one point being taken away for hitting KSI in the back of the head.
Which he did a number of times.
Yeah, I don't know how he won the... It was probably more like a draw, to be honest with you. Granted, I'm obviously a little biased, but I just didn't think Tommy won that fight. And I also am kind of sick of seeing Tommy celebrate these W's like he won the World Cup. Like, bro, you're a real boxer, the little brother of the greatest fighter on the planet. And you're like... barely scratching away with these W's from these YouTubers, and you're acting like it's all glory to God. And he's talking about going back into like a traditional boxing career, but he's not going to make nearly as much money. There's probably way less risk. But
what justifies him being in the creator boxing arena? I was asking Jeff this last night. When I've never seen him put out a fucking vlog.
No, but you have seen him on Love Island.
I don't
brother.
Give a shit.
Yeah, then you do. Yeah, he's a creator.
Fuck that.
He's a creator of
what
love.
Did he create? What
love,
did he create?
Love. He love on an island.
He should be a traditional mainstream content boxer.
No, he made a baby with her.
Twitch
they made a baby with her.
Streaming on any
deliver
of these channels.
The baby.
That does not count.
I saw his show also.
He's on the Australian Netflix.
I watched the first episode.
That doesn't count.
It was usually after some creator. I don't know, but it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, Tommy Fury is just a YouTube boxer.
Greg,
when we do that,
I know there's no way to train him for it.
No, I know, but I just want to be a part of it, so I didn't know what to say.
I don't mind
so
that.
I just jumped in, but I was like in the crowd cheering along. I didn't know, really know what the fuck
he's
I was cheering
mad at
for.
You right now.
It's just okay. Bro, like, again, just a why, I go 6 years old wearing a beanie like this.
I like it.
Hey,
regardless of what you say about Tommy, which by the way may be accurate, whatever. At least conversationally, he's at the top of the creator bracket. Him, Jake Paul, KSI.
As it stands, Tommy Fury is the best YouTube boxer.
Okay. I watch.
I'm not mad at that, though. YouTube. You know, he's a Fury.
Does he have a YouTube channel?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't like any of this. I watched that fight partially there, and then the rest of it I watched backstage with Jake Paul, which was interesting. Silent. You could hear a pin drop, the entire team watching this fight, because in a lot of ways, the future of Jake Paul's creator boxing career is semi-affected or decided, or the journey is driven by what happens between these two men. And so the outcome, I think, was the outcome that he probably most wanted. I said,
it's a perfect
outcome. I know. I said to my girl, I said, if KSI wins this fight, this room's going to get pretty fucking ugly. I said, Jake is not going to be fucking happy if KSI wins this fight. And Tommy squeaked it out. Jake just picked up his phone and started firing off tweets.
Oh, he went crazy.
Like 200 fucking tweets. He was so happy.
I forget how much Jake doesn't like JJ. I really forgot. He really took that opportunity to dog him.
And it brushes off on poor Deji. Bro, I did a pre-show with Deji. Deji, if you see this clip, I love you, Deji. I love that man. He's such a kind-hearted... Bro, he's like a poor, lost teddy bear who wound up in the ring. He doesn't even want to be there. Who's pulling the strings? He was able to box, but he's the nicest guy. Me and him just had so much fun on the pre-show, and we invite Jake Paul up to the pre-show to have a few words. Jake rolls in with, of course, the entirety of the Navy SEALs. I'm pretty sure he had a howitzer cannon with him on site
11,
last.
11 security guards and a howitzer cannon.
I've never seen anything like it in my life. He goes, I got ops. I go, who the fuck are your ops? The cartel? Who are you expecting? Look around, bro. Like, what's going on here?
Who are you expecting, dude?
He brought the whole army with him. But he sits down and Deji says, like, you know, we asked like one question. Jake just goes off on him. Deji's like, what did I do, bro? I was sitting in the middle of him. But does what happened last night pave, in some way, Jake Paul KSI?
The obvious answer is, yeah, it's perfect. Like, it's the perfect fight. What, you both made your shot at the real boxer. He scraped away barely by a little bit. You both put up good fights. But in the content creation space, at least, like, the Jake and KSI fight makes a whole lot of sense. However, I also think the Jake and Tommy rematch makes a lot of sense, which is why and Jake and I have this conversation. I was really interested in fighting Tommy because I think I could beat him because Tommy throws, and I could go in there and box a person who throws and be a counterpuncher.
How fucking crazy would it be that the Misfits card is Logan, Tommy, Jake, KSI, you know, Slim, whoever.
Prime like, card is this two, scripted? Bro. It almost seems scripted. Is this stuff scripted?
Me and Dylan did it.
Is this scripted? Is this
no, you,
scripted?
You and John
no,
Fury.
I know, dude.
Because I spoke to Jake, and like he wants to fully pursue boxing, and I'm willing to and understand that he wants his get back on Tommy. So if Tommy wants to fight Jake and thinks he can easily beat this YouTuber again and make a ton of money. Because again, you're not going to make this type of money like with anyone else or noise. Like Tommy can continue to build a real solid foundation for a legacy by fighting these people. But I think Jake needs to get his get back on Tommy. To be honest with you, I would like to see that more than Jake and KSI at the moment.
Because they asked KSI about a potential rematch with Tommy last night at the end of the fight, and I think JJ was so he's so professional and such and has such good sportsmanship. I think he had a moment last night after the fight where he was just so, man, over the past 6 months, I mean, bro, you train hard, bro. You train really hard. I know you're out there, but dude, every time I saw JJ, we would be like, oh yeah, you'd be like, yo, I'm gonna go get some sleep. And he'd be like, I'm going back to
the
gym.
No, he trains harder.
Bro, he every two sessions every single day. He was in the gym until midnight, every night, hitting, weightlifting, running. I mean, you saw it even in his stamina throughout the course of the fight last night. You're watching these guys box. He's boxing and doing jumping jacks the entire fight. I have never in my life seen something like that style. The dude's stamina and endurance has been built up through this insane training regimen. So to have lived like that for months and then to have the outcome to be able to taste that victory that close and have it stripped from you, whether right or wrong, had to be a really tough pill for him to swallow. And it was sad to see. I saw all the sidemen afterwards who were, you know, just... obviously really just like fucked up by the situation, you know? So,
well, after winning in life in general and your boxing career so many times for so long, that first loss, it sucks. It's just a nasty taste. And I saw Jake go through it, and Jake took it on the chin and handled it like a man in his personal life. And I was curious to see how JJ was going to handle it as well, because I've experienced it. I saw my brother Jake experienced it, and now JJ unfortunately has that small taste of defeat, because I told him in the locker room, it's like, you didn't really lose, you didn't get knocked out, it was really close, you showed everyone what hard work can accomplish. And I went in the locker room to check on him, he was fine, he was fully fine, he didn't seem down at all, like he took it like a man.
Can I ask you a question? Was there like just like one like little piece of you, like just like one drop of prime that was kind of like happy to see him?
No,
I'm just curious. No. I'm just completely curious. Why? But I will say this. Right. We do have a lie detector test. All right, bring it in, guys. Bring it in.
No, not at all.
Just for him to see what it feels like.
No. I'm just kidding. Bro. I know how hard he works. Like, bro, I gotta respect hard work, but he wants to leave this legacy, you know, and he's his whole life is full of wins, and it was cool to see him deal with it like a man, take it on the chin and not let it affect him either. Like he was fine. I went back to the locker room. Like obviously like being that close makes it kind of hard, because you know, you were so close, and Jake felt it too. I've been there, bro. Like I've been there. And that's what I told him. I'm like, hey man, don't beat yourself up about this. Like you like technically a loss, but not really. And it's not going to feel like a loss unless you let it, which he's not. He's too mentally tough. He's resilient. He's been through a lot as a human being, and this is just a blip in his radar of life.
Some people are saying the biggest loss last night, and definitely my biggest loss of the night as the consultant there was you walking out to Many Men Played for the third time of the night.
I thought that too.
It was his song. No one else should have done
oh,
it.
Oh no.
Yeah, three people.
Oh no.
You were the third one. As the music consultant for the evening, I had tried very hard to get Shook Ones put in last minute, which would have been all equally incredible, and I was not able to make that change.
I wanted the Scarface theme song.
Damn.
Dylan kept trying to go with the
he's the bad guy.
Yeah, that would have been dope.
I felt so hard.
No, it was. No, because it got clipped as if it was the first time that I played for the night, so it wasn't that big.
I walked out with Jake, Gordon Ryan.
Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay, the... English chef.
You're an idiot sandwich.
Don't come mucking about here. Nah, I walked out with Gordon Ryan, the best Brazilian jiu-jitsu artist and potentially one of the most dangerous men that's ever lived on planet Earth. He can kill you in so many ways. It's unfathomable. Yeah. And it was cool to spend time with someone like Gordon, who, if you guys don't know who this dude is, he's the best jiu-jitsu grappler in the world that we've seen in a very long time by far. He makes the best guys in their class look like amateurs. He's so good, and he's so technical, and it was cool to just chop it up with him and spend that time with him, beyond just the fact that I brought him out as a bit, essentially to get under Dylan's skin and be like, bro, like I got the guy that makes you say what you do well look amateur. And his stoicism and him encouraging me to not go in there and fight with emotion, right? Because that's what Dylan was banking on. And the way that he conducts himself as an athlete at the highest level rubbed off on me in a really I think, significant way. And I also got a DM from MGK Colson.
Yeah, yeah.
That helped me as well. He's like, man, everything that's been said before this fight, both positive and negative, doesn't serve you at all. Purge it, all of it, and go in there and beat this dude's ass from a level of calmness. And so, like, I got that message from Gordon, or I got that message from MGK. I spoke with Gordon about it and used his prowess as an athlete at the highest level to inspire me. And that's, I think, how I really reached that kind of enlightenment level of forgiveness, where, like, I knew what I had to do, and forgiveness was the only way that I was going to make it happen. And I guess what I'm saying is, like, allow yourself to be inspired by people around you, by the people who love you and want to help you. And it was really cool, and it is always cool when I do these events, to see my support system activate, you know? That's what I said in my post-fight speech.
Yeah.
Rely on your support system. Oh, my God, man. You have a good support system. The people that love you, like, lean on them, those motherfuckers. During the hardest time of this camp, I flew you out. I'm like, Dad, we need you.
Yeah.
We need some fucking support right now. I'm a mental ox, but this shit's hard. Help.
It was tough.
Yeah. Was tough. But you were there for me, and like everyone in this room, like, and allow yourself to let the people around you build you up and push you back to the front of the line where you fucking belong when you're in doubt. Yeah, I've been rambling, bro. I'm a little tipsy, to be honest with you, bro. I've been drinking Jack Daniels, bro.
That was very well.
Yeah, I was there for you the whole time. I was DMing Dylan the picture of the meme with the black dude with his dick out, the COVID meme.
You got to get a haircut right before the fight.
The haircut helped a lot. Yeah, yeah. Slim, I gave a haircut to, too, and he won. I'm happy. Slim had a great performance, you know?
The stats are showing that you giving haircuts is part of the win.
You know,
just saying.
Keep this up. Yeah, the magic touch. You're next for the real money fight.
Mams actually said he might have something for me.
GP versus John
Fury. No, actually.
GP versus John Fury.
No, as of last night, I know it's actually GP versus Jeff Levin. Dude, it's so, the GP battles now are so well known that when they start off, I just look at both parties and I go, it's so late in the night. Do we really have? And honestly, I put a lot of blame on Levin for it last night. Not to get into too much behind the scenes shit. The words you don't generally say to GP is, GP, shut your mouth. Like, bro, if you want to avoid
what
a thing,
he said was, stop talking.
Stop
to
whatever.
I said, if you ever tell me stop talking again, I'll knock your fucking teeth in.
We don't need to go back to it, but
it's how Jeff talks, but he got to understand that certain people can't talk.
Just him. No, it's just him. Because he tries to make it fast. Because he wants to keep moving. He was trying to pull you out of the
room.
No,
he was doing the right thing. Correct. You needed to stop talking. You needed to stop. You didn't understand the context of the pee.
Right, because you're like, I got to go pee, and the bathroom's right there. Logan didn't say I got to do a pee test.
Yeah. You didn't understand. I understood the context of you not understanding the context, but Jeff didn't understand. You didn't understand the context.
But Jeff still shouldn't be telling me.
No, I know. Anyway, no, that's what we're saying.
Quick note for the audience. This is a thing, and I don't know, maybe you don't handle it, whatever, but try to be cautious not to confuse expeditious ignorance in people that are trying to hurry something along with rudeness. Like that was just Jeff trying to make things stop and hurry along, and it wasn't the right way to do it, but I don't think he meant it like malicious.
No, of course.
You know what I'm saying? Obviously.
No, I know, but he's got to be careful with his
words.
It could have been a really bad day for him.
For sure. No, okay. So a couple more things. Conor McGregor was extremely pleased with Dylan Danis. Yo!
What the? Dude, how can that be?
Describe the setting do you think McGregor's in when he makes that tweet.
He's obviously like, where joking. Is he? He's not
okay.
serious.
Come on.
No, I'm not saying he was serious, but maybe he was saying, yes, exactly. Drunk as fuck. I don't think he was strong.
What are you going to do when your boy that you vouch for gets his ass beat the first time he shows up to a fight?
And looks like a clown.
1600 days. No wonder he doesn't show up to fights. He sucks. And he comes out there, gets his ass beat by some YouTube wrestler. Like, what can Conor do? Be like, oh, nice try, man. No, he's going to take the piss out of him. He's trolling. Just
it
like
was so funny, though. Oh, he's so good at those Twitter voice notes. He's the only one that does them, and they're so funny.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He is. No, he's dude. I'm a McGregor fan, like, partially. Like, I think it'd be great to fight him and beat him up. I don't think he's a good person, but like, you got to be entertained and amused by some of the stuff he did.
Bro,
like,
and he's a great bro.
He's a great.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to put respect on that dude's name for sure.
For sure.
Uh,
five
and,
minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Can we talk about the impulsive break? When are we doing another episode? What's going on here, bro? Are we shooting again? I haven't been able to.
We got eat. Mark Cuban.
Oh, yeah.
We got Mark Cuban
amongst
Dallas.
Others.
Which, by the way, Terry Ayer still has a lot of potential.
No, unfortunately. I don't know if everyone saw this or not, but Terry Ayer now exists.
What?
Oh, it was created. There's an entire airline now for pets. 100%. Came along about 6 or 7 months after we
said
that on the show.
Can Quinn, my exo bully, use it to come 100%. To the UK? He's been wanting to see Big Ben.
Just want to let everybody know that we pitched this idea. It was then taken, supported by VC money, and is now a profitable business. So, no problem, dude.
Quinn can't come to the UK, actually. My exo bully. They banned exo bullies here. They banned exo bullies, bro. He can't come. And he's been wanting to see Big Ben. He's going to be devastated.
You could identify him as a poodle.
They won't believe it just because the way his structure is.
Yeah, but can't you sue them if they deny his identity?
You can't tell my dog what kind of dog he is. You can't tell.
2 minutes.
Bro, what's your deal?
Mike was handling dinner.
This was a big one. This was a big one. They said, they told me, Andrew Scholes is performing tonight. By the way, two-faced ass Andrew Scholes.
Wait, hold on.
Who fucking was a complete and utter Dylan Danis supporter.
Yeah, what the
going
fuck,
into the
man?
Fight last night, I went up to him. I was like, what the fuck's your problem? I said, who do you got? I'm putting you on the line right now. You're on camera. Who do you got? I said, I like both these guys. I go, pick one. He goes, Danis.
And I had to stop him because he was dancing to Dylan's walkout song.
Another question. What was that song?
It was a good. I was dancing a little bit to it too.
But so
you
was
were,
he.
Yeah, you were
so
too.
Was
that
he.
Was good. His walkout was fucking.
Schultz
it got the crowd pumped
bro.
Up.
Schultz is
no,
trolling.
No. I don't think he is. You know what I think it is? He's not two-faced. There's a look, because Jake does this with me and KSI. It's not being two-faced.
Instigator.
You can like two people. You can like two people and be
said.
Friends.
That's what he said.
Oh, he likes Dylan.
Yeah.
Cool. He likes me too. It's fucking sweet.
Well, he also
I'm sure he has opinions about who was going to win. Who cares?
He also likes chaos. He loves
that. Yeah,
oh
yeah,
my
is that
God.
Why he has that mustache?
Oh, of course that's why he has. He looks like he's a straight out of Inglourious Basterds. We're hunting Nazis. Every time I see him, I feel like he's going to go hunting Nazis. Well, if you don't bring me back 1,000 Nazi scalps, what I think every time I see him, bro.
Yeah, but about that, saying you can like two people, you can't like two people, but like from everybody else's point of view, you guys are beefing with the Diaz brothers, Connor, like, I'm fans of these guys, you know? And like sometimes, I'll be liking their Instagrams and shit. And I'm like, this is going to cause a problem. But you guys this is entertainment. You guys have to have these beefs going on.
That's the thing. You can like two people, but there's a fine line. Like I know there was a bit of a thing where Danis wanted to come on Barbershop with you.
Yeah.
And I'm bro, I know it would have been a great episode. I know you would have had.
Well, I just like to trash everybody. I like to make fun of everybody, you know, and just point out the fucking bullshit. So that's what I was going to go in there and do. But I'm a part of this team, you know, and of course I want to go to fucking war. But for Schultz, you know, his sake, he's got to keep it real. He's got to.
Yeah, I get it. But you know, I appreciated you doing that. I felt like you, Jeff, like, you're now in, bro. You're in. You're like semi-regular on the show since we only shoot once every fucking 4 months. So I felt like it was just too. I felt like it was too close.
Yeah.
And you know what else about Schultz? He's a straight shooter, dude. He asked me on the show. He's like, well, would you mind if I have? I'm like, you know, no, I don't mind. Just keep it real with him. And they did. And they kept it real with them. And they had a good time. They had a good episode. And you know, God bless Dylan. I imagine waking up this morning was not easy. Face twice the size as it was. Swollen, beaten, battered, bruised, black, blue. The entire Twitter army that supported you and propelled you and gave your self-fulfillment for the past 2 months has now turned on you because they saw that you're a coward that can't even do the thing you're supposed to be good at by doing MMA in a boxing match. He lost embarrassingly. He got his ass beat. Everyone hates him again. The MMA world knows exactly who he is. No organization or brand will ever work with him. And he's got a hefty lawsuit on his hands for harassing an innocent bystanding woman. So there's a lot on that dude's plate. But God bless him. I wish him nothing but the best. I forgive Dylan. And the show goes on.
Nice. And also a good microcosm of the hate in the world right now. There's a lot of it out there. And I think that was a good segue into it. We need to be kind to each other. This hatred and all this fighting and shit that's going on is not easy on anybody. But lead with kindness, lead with love, lead with forgiveness. Show love to your neighbors. Be positive. Be light. and the light will overcome the darkness as it did last night.
Good beats
we
evil.
Are back,
good beats evil, baby. Come on. Good beats evil. Fucking believe in yourself. Good always beats evil. Be a good person. Rey Mysterio, I'm coming for that US championship. I don't know how else to say it, bro. Like,
let's go.
I already beat you once. My first WrestleMania. I beat you and your son, Dom. I like you, Dom, but I beat you, Dom. And I'm going to beat you again, Rey. I'm the American boy. I'm coming for that US title. I will see you soon, bro. Maybe on SmackDown. We'll see what's up. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to this episode of Impulsive. It's good to be back. We love you. Hit that like and subscribe button. We'll see you next time. Take it easy. Peace.
All right, let's go make fun of Schultz now.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.